for the busted hearts. This is for the question marks. This is for the outcast soul, lost control, no one knows. Sing it for the can't go back. Sing it for the broken past. Sing it for the just found out. Life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your head.
Together we are bolder, braver, stronger.
Light beacons and ends in the dust. shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Come on. Nothing shall be impossible.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to see all of you. If you can hear my voice, if you're out in the lobby, come on in. You grab your last cup of coffee and join us as we gather to worship the Lord today. This is our opportunity. You know, we begin a brand new week here on Sunday morning to praise God, to worship Him together, and there's something special about doing that with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's kind of part of our theme this morning is being the church and gathering as the church, and this is what we're called to do, and we can rely on each other and encourage each other, and we get to do that this morning in different ways. In a moment, we'll hear from God's word, and we'll stand and sing songs of praise to God, and then, of course, we'll hear His word. And so, you know, it's a good way, a blessed way to start our week. And it's what the early church did. You know, the ancient Christians, the very first believers in the very first church, they gathered on Sunday mornings because they wanted to celebrate the fact that Christ had rose from the dead. And that we can celebrate as well this morning. Amen? And so we have new life in Him. And Jesus said, because He lives, we can live also. And so we're grateful for that. And so I trust that that as you hear the call to worship this morning, as I read from Psalm 56, that you would take the opportunity to allow the Word of God to prepare your hearts, to ready your minds for a time of worshiping Him. You know, we do receive, and God blesses us when we gather and worship, and that's how good and generous He is. But worship really is about giving. We've gathered here to give back to God and to honor Him and to worship Him. So listen to these words. This is Psalm 56, and this will be our call into worship this morning. The psalmist says this: "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me, fighting all day long as he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for there are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid, for what can mere man do to me? All day long they may distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They may attack me and they lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited to even take my life. And because of wickedness, Father, cast them forth. Put down those nations, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God, and I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed even my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We don't believe that there is coincidence or we are here by accident. God, we are gathered here in your name. We have gathered here to proclaim even these truths from this beautiful psalm that, God, even when we struggle, when we fail, when we are suffering turmoil, God, you take our tears and you keep them in your bottle. Our names, our lives, even our tears are recorded in your book. Thank you, God, that you go before us in battle. You protect us. You prepare the way, and you are with us every step of the way. Thank you, God, that you are our great warrior, and you are for us. Thank you, God, that we can proclaim those truths, that we can walk in your light. So we praise you now, God. We praise you from that truth and from those promises upon which we stand. We give you the praise. We do so in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, let's worship the Lord together.
What a blessing it is to know that every battle belongs to the Lord. Isaiah 28:16 also foreshadows what God says. Our faith is built on a precious cornerstone, a firm foundation, and the one who believes will be unshakable. So as we go into our next two songs, meditate on what it means to know that our faith is built on firm foundation. It's a cornerstone, and we are unshakable.
Thank you. Blood and righteousness.
are grateful for this time. We are grateful for you. Thank you, Lord, for the breath in our lungs, the spirit within us, that we may sing these songs of praise and the wonderful truths, Father. The wonderful truths that remind us about who we are and, of course, who you are. God, thank you for Jesus, most of all, our precious cornerstone, the one we have our eternal life, our eternity as our foundation. God, thank you for that simple gospel of grace. And thank you, Father God, that we can trust in you. Lord God, this time has been for you. It continues to be for you and all for your glory. For you are a holy God, worthy of all praise and honor. So we say thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. To that, we say amen and amen. Church, would you just take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you? If we can make our way back to our seats, what a blessing it is to be able to worship in this place together. We thank God for His Word, His powerful Word, His encouraging Word that motivates us, that reminds us of why it is that we even gather, and that is to worship our God. I trust that this is just the beginning of a week of worship for you. But again, as I mentioned earlier, remember that there is something unique, I think something very spiritual and special about gathering together to bring praise to God. That will, I think, be even more clear in our passage of Scripture today. So before we dive into God's Word, we are finishing Matthew 12 today. You say hallelujah for that. Yeah, praise the Lord. It seems like we've been in it for a long time. So if you like, you can turn to Matthew 12. It's the end of that chapter. It's verses 46 to 50. It'll be up on the screen for you in a moment, but I just wanted to catch us up on some things we call church life, just to make sure we're on the same page about some things to look forward to. Please remember that all of our information, our events, past sermons, all of that is on our website, trinityallenwood.com. So if you have any questions about upcoming events, anything that I'll mention in a moment, just check out our website. Any of the events where you need to register, you can do that on the website as well. And so it's just a great resource, sort of our hub, where you can find out all the information, not just about things that we're doing or events and way to fellowship or to serve, but our website, TrinityAllenwood.com, gives a lot of information about who we are, what we believe and why, the things that we value, like learning, growing, and serving, our core values. And you can even go a little bit deeper with each of those on the front page of our website and see why it is that we chose those words and why they're important to us. Simply, it's because it's how we pursue being disciples, followers of Jesus, learning and growing and serving together. If you're interested in learning more about our worship ministry and you'd like to get involved, whether it's from the tech side or being an instrumentalist or a vocalist, or if you'd like to learn more, also go to our website. There's a page for our worship ministry, and there's a questionnaire that you can fill out. Just some, you know, basic questions about your interest, sort of your background, and then somebody from our leadership team will get in touch with you. So if you have any questions about the worship ministry, you can check that out on our website as well and fill out the questionnaire, and somebody will contact you about that. Remember also, we've been announcing this for a while, but today we have an outreach. You know, our missions team tries to put together at least one opportunity a month, at least one, to get out there and serve. And today is one of those opportunities. So we're simply going to go and pray. We're going to go to Jenkinson's Boardwalk in Point Beach, and at 4 o'clock, it's from 4 to 6. So at 4 o'clock, we'll meet up at the aquarium up on the boardwalk, and we'll gather and we'll pray together as a team. And then if you haven't done that with us before, we simply go out in groups, small groups, and we just walk the boardwalk and we pray. And we just pray as we walk. We're praying for people that we're seeing. We're praying for the community. And then we pray for opportunities to just maybe stop and maybe talk to somebody that's sitting on a bench or eating an ice cream. And you can ask them what flavors they like. Well, whatever, you know. You start a conversation. But the idea is that we're just going to offer prayer. It's very simple, you know. And it's a good opportunity if you've been praying about an opportunity to sort of get out of your comfort zone and go and to serve and do something what we call outreach. This is good because we go and we simply just tell people we're from a local church and we're just offering prayer, and if they'd like prayer. And we have found from the past that very rarely do people turn down prayer. Every once in a while, people will say, no, I'm good, and we don't press them, of course, but most people will say yes. And we can ask them what to pray for, and we just pray. And then maybe it opens a conversation where we can talk to them about Jesus, and we can talk to them about the free gospel of grace. And so that's today at 4 o'clock, from 4 to 6, if you're interested in meeting up at the aquarium. Again, all that information, if you forget after you leave here today, it's on our website, and you can see the information about the times and the place to do that. We have a lot going on here this summer, and then building up into the fall, and so a few updates. Again, all this information is on the website, but I just want to give you like a quick sort of rundown. You can see that even though this summer, a lot of ministries sort of take a break, we still have a lot going on. Next week is our communion and fellowship lunch Sunday. The following weekend, Saturday, July 12th, is the women's ministry bike ride and walk. That's a sunrise bike ride and walk. So the times and location is all on our website. You can sign up there. If you're going to stay for the breakfast, we need you to register. There's a free breakfast at the Breakers that's involved. And then there's sort of an after party at one of the women's houses. She has a pool, and you can just hang out and spend some more time of fellowship. So ladies, put that on your calendar and check out the information. Thursday, July 17th is our monthly Tom's River outreach. Saturday, July 19th is another pool party and barbecue here in Brick. Thursday, the 24th of July, is next outreach in Red Bank. That's at the lunch break. We go and we just help to prepare and serve lunch for people that are in need with that amazing ministry. It's been around a long time. It's good to partner with them. Then in August, a few things. August 3rd, the first Sunday of the month, as we like to do, is our communion and luncheon. And Saturday the 16th, another opportunity for fellowship, pool party and barbecue. And we like to eat, and we like to have fun and fellowship, amen? And then the August 22nd is the men's ministry. I like to do this every year, and that's a Friday night, and go to a local Blue Claws game and enjoy some fellowship. So a lot of information, just keep checking it out and see how you can get plugged in and enjoy some fellowship and times to learn together and times to serve together as well. Also, as a reminder, I'll be going on sabbatical. It's something that I announced back in the beginning of May, and most of you are aware of that. And that Sunday in May, I just kind of shared a few words about sabbatical. What it means comes from the word Sabbath, which really means rest or kind of stop working, really. It's something people have been asking me a lot about. What are you going to do, and are you looking forward to it? And of course, but sabbatical really is, it's a part of my ministry as the lead pastor here in Shepherd, is to take some intentional time away from the regular routine of ministry and just spend some focused time with just me and the Lord and some spiritual disciplines that I'll be working on. And it's a way to do that and to embrace what we call the sacred gift of rest. So it will be a time, I'm trusting, of renewal and refreshment in my time of ministry. Many pastors will do that, and oftentimes, unfortunately, pastors take sabbaticals when it's too late, when they are burned out, and it doesn't often go well. But as I had mentioned back in May, that's not why I'm taking a sabbatical. I just got to celebrate and enjoy 10 years here at Trinity back in March. And praise the Lord, thank you. Never took a sabbatical at my previous church, was there for 8 years, and hadn't done one here. And my kids and my family were like, I think it's time. And so I'm looking forward to it, but it'll be a time where I can sort of slow down and rest, do some more focused reading, some reflection, and just leaning into the Lord. In ways that maybe I just can't do on a regular basis throughout the normal work week. So I would ask that you continue to pray for me. I'll be praying for all of you, and I think it's a blessing for the church as well, just to be reminded that we all need regular times of Sabbath, don't we? God has built that into us, and He built it into the law for Israel. We're not under that law, but I think the principle is still there, that as God rested on the seventh day from his creation, he looked back and he saw all that he did and said it was good. And so it's just a reminder for all of us, do we take regular times to slow down, to stop our normal routine, whatever that is, and reflect on the goodness of God? And that's what rest should be in our lives. And so I thank you for all the support and just the prayers for that. And, we have all of our leaders here prepared for that, and we have an amazing lineup of guest speakers. Some have been here before, a few have not, and so I trust that as they bring the Word of God for you on those Sundays, that you will be blessed. So I'd like to pray now for our time in God's Word, and in Matthew as we finish that up. So let's just pray that God blesses our time in his word. Father, we thank you for all that we've been able to experience here this morning already. We have gathered here, God, not to receive in what we get out of church, but really to give, to surrender ourselves to you and to your will. But God, we also know from experience that in your goodness and your generosity, you do bless us, and you give. And so as we open your word now, we say thank you for it. And Lord, we do pray through the renewing of our mind that we would be transformed, not by the world, but by your word. And we ask this
In the name of Jesus, the living word, the very word, amen. Church, what does it mean to you to be a part of God's family? What does it mean that you have brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ all around the world? I ask for a moment that you would imagine being a part of a church where simply gathering could mean your life. At the very least, could mean that you land in prison, where studying or even owning a Bible is very risky, where worship is not proclaimed loudly like we just did, but needs to be whispered. And that is the reality for many believers around the world, but especially, as we often think about, in China's underground house churches. Because of ongoing government persecution, which many of us have been aware of for a long time, many brothers and sisters in Christ, they meet secretly in homes, often under the threat of arrest. And yet, the church in China continues to grow, not just in numbers, but more importantly in love and in strength and in the depth of their commitment to their Savior. But one of the most powerful truths that we see emerge from these underground house churches is that when one believer is persecuted, the others step in as their family. They visit them in jail. They provide food and encouragement for their family. They rally around their brothers and sisters in a time of desperate need. I'd like to read to you just a brief article from Open Doors International. It's a ministry that I've mentioned many times. I think we have a link to them on our website. But they track persecution of the church around the world. And every year they put out a list. And China actually, for this year in 2025, bumped up 4 spots, meaning that persecution has increased in the past 12 months. But listen to what they say in particular about the persecution of Christians in China. It says this on their website: in recent years, the government of China has aggressively tried to ensure all religious expression is brought into line with official Chinese communist philosophy. Any church or church leader stepping beyond that can come under heavy restrictions. Unregistered churches, because every church has to be registered with the government, even those that were once tolerated, are considered illegal and put under great pressure as authorities seek to enforce regulations and tighten policies. They go on to say that state-approved churches come under strong ideological pressure. Children under the age of 18 are forbidden from attending church. Officially registered churches are carefully regulated to make sure nothing they promote falls outside of the Chinese communist philosophy and guidelines. The surveillance and monitoring of all suspected church leaders are consequences of following Jesus in China. Once again, unregistered churches were forcibly closed in 2025 and 2024, and believers were forced to take their fellowships underground. Even registered churches faced restrictions about the topics of their weekly sermons. They are required to post pro-communist signs and are monitored for doing so. Church leaders anywhere in the country can be invited to what the government calls tea with Chinese authorities. Usually, that is a veiled excuse to check in on Christian activities. More leaders of house churches are being convicted of things like fraud or economic crimes and face long and arduous prison sentences. And the article goes on. But church, it also mentions this, and this is what really got my attention. I had mentioned that children under 18 are not allowed to even attend church. But if a parent of a child is arrested, the other believers from these underground churches will secretly help to raise those children while the parents spend years in prison. They support the spouse. They carry the burden of the imprisoned Christian. It's not because they are blood relatives or maybe share the last name. It's because they share the same Lord. And these aren't just like acts of kindness and charity. This is what happens, I believe, when people live out what Jesus said in our passage for today, Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. In this passage, Jesus asked this question, who is my brother? See, Jesus redefines relationship for his followers. I'd like to read it for you now and then just point out three things that I think we can glean from this passage as we close out chapter 12. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While he was still speaking to the crowds, of course, this is Jesus, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. So someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Then stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. It's our passage for today. So again, I ask you, what does it mean for you to be a part of the family of God? Do you even realize that we are connected, not by blood, but we are bound by Jesus Christ to our brothers and sisters around the world, including those who meet underground in small groups facing persecution in countries like China. Jesus, in our passage today, he redefines relationships and talks about them in a spiritual sense and not physical. So we ask ourselves, is our identity today rooted just in our family traditions, or is it in our connection and affiliation and our identity in Jesus? Or I ask this question, do we see church simply as a gathering on Sunday morning, or do we see church, capital C, as our spiritual family and our spiritual home? We can ask ourselves the same question Jesus did, who is my brother? See, Jesus had confronted the Pharisees, you remember, as we're leading up to the end of chapter 12, because they had attributed his miracles, especially the last one, remember when he cast out the demon from the man who was blind and couldn't hear as well? A miracle that only, as the Jewish people knew, only the Messiah could do. But yet, they didn't attribute that to God. They could not say that he was the Messiah, so they attributed his miracles to Satan himself. And he has been warning them about that unpardonable sin we talked about, the national rejection of Jesus by Israel. So now in this scene, after they had done that, he's evidently in a house, and he's still talking, and somebody rushes in, probably through the crowd. There was always crowds pressing around Jesus. And someone comes in and says, Jesus, your family is outside. Your mother and your brothers, they want to talk to you. And then he answers that man and he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he points to his disciples, not his family, not his blood relatives, but to his disciples, and says, behold, this is my mother and these are my brothers. For those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven, they are my brothers, my sisters, my mother. So let's just look at this just briefly together. Three things I want to point out. In the first few verses that I just reminded you, right? He's still speaking, and there's a parallel passage in the other Gospels. In Mark 3, we see this. As the whole kind of chapter 12 of Matthew plays out, we see it similarly in Mark, also in Luke. But look at what Mark says, just as a form of perspective. It says, then Jesus, this is the same event, Jesus entered a house, so he was in there teaching, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. They just wanted to have a meal, right? And there were so many people, they couldn't even sit down to eat. The crowds, and they were asking him questions. They wanted the healings and the miracles. Look at verse 21. This is Mark's account of the same event that we're talking about in Matthew. When his family heard about this, meaning everything he had been teaching and all the miracles, the things he had been saying about the Pharisees, condemning the Pharisees, rejecting them because they had rejected him and saying that his power came from Satan. It says, when his family heard about these things, they went to take charge of him. So they come into the house, not just to ask him a question or to eat with him. They wanted to get him out of there. But why? For they said, he is out of his mind. Maybe your version says that he is insane. That's probably a better translation of the Greek word there. So you see, his family, they still didn't truly understand who he was and what he was about. I mean, they liked at first the free food, just like everybody else. They loved the miracles. But now they're hearing him speak out against the religious leaders. I mean, everybody revered the Pharisees. They would never dare speak out against them, and here Jesus was. They thought he was out of his mind. So they came to this house to take him out of there, to try to save him from himself. And what does he say? Says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? See, Jesus' earthly family in this account really represents Israel and the natural ties. They come to speak to him. But Israel, as God's chosen nation, see, they had privileged access to the Messiah, but it went to the point where they thought and truly believed they would get into the kingdom that Jesus came to offer as king, simply because they were related to Abraham. Father Abraham. They're Jewish, so they're getting into the kingdom. Why? Because they are children of Abraham. That was their theology. That was their understanding. But Jesus, as he always did, he turned things upside down. He does not prioritize this natural connection anymore. Why? Because they had rejected him. Physical relationship to Abraham was no longer sufficient to enter into the kingdom. And Jesus is making this point. Remember way back in Matthew 3:9, you remember that, right? Months ago? John the Baptist said this. He said, do not suppose that you can even say to yourselves, well, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that from even these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. See, back then, John the Baptist called them out, and then Jesus is doing the same thing. Don't suppose that you can simply say, well, Abraham is our father, so therefore we're getting to heaven, and we're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how we act or what we do. Jesus now says it's not about physical relationships. It is spiritual. See, that's what binds us together with believers, with Christians around the world. It is this beautiful spiritual relationship. Isn't it amazing when maybe you're traveling, maybe you're here in Jersey, you're on vacation around the world, and you meet somebody else that's a Christian? You just have this instant connection, right? You might look different, speak a different language, right? Have a different background. Everything else might be different, but you automatically feel this bond, don't you? Clyde and I were walking our dog the other night just around our neighborhood, and there was three young people standing outside throwing the football or doing something, and walked by and said hi, and there was this young woman speaking to this young guy and kind of like a dad figure standing there. And as we walked by, we heard her talking to him about the resurrection. And she's trying to explain the resurrection to him, and we just kept walking. Like, that's so cool, right? I mean, it seems random, right? We're just out walking our dog in the neighborhood. We're like, praise God that here's a believer explaining to somebody who probably was asking questions about what it means that Jesus came back from the dead. We don't know this person, but yet there's a connection because we are believers in the same Lord. So Jesus, in context here, he is rejecting that generation because they had rejected him. Their natural ties to Abraham and then the Messiah are no longer sufficient because by rejecting Jesus, national Israel was forfeiting its immediate role in the kingdom program. See, Jesus isn't really dishonoring his family. It seems dishonoring, doesn't it, to say, well, who are these people? Who really is my mother and my brothers? Like, boy, shouldn't he be respecting them? That's not what he's doing. He's illustrating a deeper reality, as Jesus often does, that natural descent, the physical relationship, does not guarantee spiritual privilege. Let's look at it in our context today. Maybe some of you grew up Catholic, or you grew up in a different religion, and maybe someone would have asked you, well, why are you Catholic, or why do you believe? You say, well, I was born a Catholic. I was raised in this home. And the idea being that, of course, I am of this particular faith because that's how I was raised, or my parents are and their grandparents are. That is our culture. See, that is who we are. But it's kind of like what Jesus was saying back then to the Jewish people. It's a spiritual relationship. It's not because you're born into a certain faith or religion that you can claim affiliation. We need to value spiritual over the natural identity. Church, are we able to and really willing to proclaim and to claim our new identity in Jesus Christ? See, our status in Christ matters so much more than our background, even our nationality or religious heritage. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? And so then you are members of a new family. It can be difficult to grasp this truth in reality, but Jesus is saying this spiritual relationship that we have with him and then other brothers and sisters, which this is a foretaste of what will become the church. The church hasn't happened yet, but it's foreshadowing the church. It's preparing the way for that, saying that takes precedent even over blood family. We need to make sure that we guard against things like complacency just because of a place of maybe privilege we were born into. Being raised even in a Christian home or just attending church, that does not equal a relationship with Christ or even fellowship with him as a believer. So we just briefly look then as we close out at the last couple of verses. So verse 49, Jesus, this is when he stretches out his hand to the disciples. See, now he's turning away from his blood relatives, his family, and he's turning to who he says is his true family. Behold, these are my brothers. This is my mother. He identifies his followers as his true family. This signals a transition. I've been saying this for a few weeks now. Chapter 12 of Matthew is a pivotal chapter. It's a transitional chapter because Israel finally rejects him. They just have to find out when they're going to kill him and how. And then Jesus rejects them because of that. The offer of that kingdom and him being the king is now temporarily off the table. So now he starts speaking to the disciples, and you'll see in chapter 13, I encourage you to go ahead and read that. Chapter 13, he starts teaching in parables about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this and this, and he gives a description of what it looks like to be a believer now, living out those kingdom principles for the kingdom that is to come. He talks about what it's going to look like here until he returns. So it is a transitional chapter. This is not yet the church that begins at Pentecost, but it's preparing a way for a broader spiritual family beyond ethnic Israel of that day. But Jesus is saying that his disciples will enter that kingdom because they are, because of belief, his mother and his brothers. Jesus identifies his followers as his true family. Church, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have believed in him for your eternal salvation, you are a member of the family of God. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Are we taking full advantage of that? It's not just gathering on Sundays for an hour and a half or so, hour and 45 minutes? Are we taking full advantage of being a part of the family of God? Are we praying for one another? Are we helping one another like those persecuted Christians around the world? When one of us is hurting, do we rally around them to comfort a spouse, to pray for them, not just to bring them a meal, but maybe to help raise a child, to help to teach, to help to comfort, to offer a shoulder to cry on? But it takes more than just a moment of help. It's an investment. And I think that's where many of us can shy away from that, because we don't want to invest, many of us, in another family. Because, you know, my blood relatives, there's enough drama there. Why do I need another family? But what would Jesus say? This is the true family. This moment in Jesus' teaching anticipates the coming of what we call the church age, the age in which we now live, where the spiritual relationship through faith takes precedence over the physical connection. Wrapping it up, what does he say? In verse 50, whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. And some other scriptures that are important, John 3. And Jesus answered, this is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. He says to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. So he's talking about, how do we get into that kingdom? Again, this is early on in his ministry, talking to Nicodemus, one of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So born of water means the physical birth, so we are born. But then by the Spirit, it is being reborn. That's why we say that we are born again. It's that spiritual birth. In John 6, later on in John's gospel, for this is the will of my Father. You see why I put this here? Because in our passage, Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father, that's my family. So what is the will of the Father? This is the will of the Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. That's the ultimate will of the Father, that all would come to him in faith. So Jesus clarifies for us, it's about the spiritual connection. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are made a right relationship with him, but then we can enjoy fellowship with our God through obedience and abiding. But how about with each other? Let us not forget. We focus first on our vertical relationship, but how about the horizontal relationships and our connection with believers everywhere? So let's not confuse even just our identity with intimacy. Well, I'm a Christian, therefore I'm close with God. We focus on that fellowship, and a lot of that fellowship with God is played out in our fellowship with others, like encouragement and challenge in times in our lives. It's not just having our name or a special last name or growing up in a certain household. How are we responding to God and our relationship and enjoying fellowship with him through others? This is a turning point in Matthew's gospel and his account of Jesus' teachings, because Jesus is redefining the relationship. The Jewish people today thought they were getting into the kingdom simply because they were related to Abraham. And he says that is not the case. Our true brothers and sisters are those who also are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our common bond. Let us enjoy that common bond. Fellowship with one another. That is our identity. We are the church. You realize that, right? This building is not the church. We are the church. What a privilege that is. We're going to end our time together with a song. It's a worship song. Maybe some of you had heard it. Maybe not. We won't have the words up there. Just listen. The words are simple. It's a blessing as we leave this place together. So just stand. If you don't know the word, just stand and listen. Listen to those around you singing, and just listen to the words of this blessing. It's taken from Numbers chapter 6. This is the great priestly blessing of Aaron and Moses. Numbers chapter 6 says this. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites." But see, today this blessing is for us as well, as members of the family of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Let's sing those words now as we close out our gathering together.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Praise you, God, for this time together, for those many blessings. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us this morning, church. Go in that peace and that blessing. Amen. Yes.